صلي على رسول الكريم مع بعض. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us His love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of the actions that will gain His love. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those people that He loves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this halaqa to give us love of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our last halaqa, we were able to witness, right? As we talked about it, we could witness it, see it with our own eyes. This moment that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been waiting for so long. This moment where he could come back to Mecca. He could come back to Mecca and free Mecca from the idolatry and all of the wrongs and ills that had been happening in Mecca. And we looked at how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elevated the status of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, and how people were looking at Bilal and him being black and from Abyssinia. They couldn't deal with the social change that had happened due to this message. But nonetheless, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Bilal when it was time for prayer, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, O Bilal, go up on top of the Kaaba and call the Adhan. And it's so beautiful because the same Bilal was the one that 12 years prior, he was being tortured in Mecca and he was being dragged around on the sand of Mecca. And they were torturing him just so that he could say, I don't believe in Allah. And all he would say is, Ahad, Ahad, just there's only one God, there's only one God. And here he is, the same person, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, at the top of the Kaaba now calling out the call of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we witness how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that power doesn't have to corrupt. He taught us that if the heart is clean, if the heart is pure, then when blessings come, a person remains cognizant of Allah. The person remains aware of Allah's blessing upon them. And so as they elevate, their humility elevates with them as well. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into Mecca on that day, the victor, the conqueror of Mecca, the freer of Mecca, on that day when he came in, he didn't come with his chest up and his head up. He came in with his head hanging low because he was witnessing God's blessing upon him. And whenever we see God's blessing upon any of us, it should make us humble. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in Mecca for the next 19 days. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would think that, oh, this is the end of the story, everything is good. No, there's still more trials, there's still more mujahada, there's still more struggle. There was a tribe, two tribes actually, that were neighboring Mecca, the tribe of Thaqif and Hawazin. And if you remember, the tribe of Thaqif, they're from Ta'if. It's the same city that the Prophet alayhi salam had went to give dawah, and he was ruthlessly kicked out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard that the tribe of Hawazin has gathered 20,000 troops because they saw what happened in Mecca and they think they're next. So they preemptively are setting out to attack us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only had 19 days of enjoying the blessing of Allah before another trial came. And for me, that's a lesson that there will be ups, there will be downs, but we have to always keep struggling and striving because in the struggle is where we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the struggle. In the struggle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talked to the Sahaba. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we shouldn't wait here. We should go out to them. So now only 18 days, 19 days after staying in Mecca, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to all of the 10,000 soldiers that came with him, these 10,000 companions that came with him to Mecca, he says to them, we have to go forward now. But things were different, y'all. It was a little different now. And the reason it was different is because now there were new Muslims that joined the ranks from the people of Mecca. New Muslims who had never had any time with the believers whatsoever. And not only that, there were even some because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, la ikraha fi din, there's no compulsion. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into Mecca, he didn't make everyone accept Islam. There were still really high people in the society of Mecca that had not accepted Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he allows 2,000 people. And these are new Muslims. New Muslims. And when I say new, they're not just new, but They actually saw the writing on the wall and converted. They saw the victory. They saw the success of Islam. Islam had created this culture, and they were like, well, we want to roll too. We want to roll with the Muslims. They're the ones that are victorious. Like my man Fudala. Y'all remember him? The one giving dawah to his friend on his way back? Yeah. The culture had changed, and now there were so many new Muslims, but a lot of them did not accept Islam because of what it meant. They accepted Islam because they saw the writing on the wall. And this is important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا, that the Bedouins now, they accepted Islam, they said, آمَنَّا. We believe, we're mu'mins. قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. Allah says to the Prophet, say to them, لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. You're not a mu'min yet. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. You're Muslim. You took shahada. I was talking to a sheikh about this. I was like, how do we understand that? He said, look, Islam happens in a moment. You come, you say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. But to be a mu'min, you got to work on it every day. To be a mu'min, to be a believer, we're all, inshallah, all Muslims, right? Except for the one head in the room thinking about it right now, mashallah. Inshallah, you too, right? But to be a mu'min is a higher level, which we all strive for, and that takes work every day. So the Quran said, these people were coming and they were saying, yeah, we're mu'min. Allah said, O Muhammad, tell them, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ كُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمْ يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. The iman hasn't yet come in. So this is important because as they became Muslim, it's important to understand. Not everyone comes into the Islam for the same reason. Imam Malik says this. This is profound. Because a lot of us judge people based on why they accepted Islam. And what we learn from these people, it doesn't matter why you came in. It matters why you stay. It matters why you stay. Imam Malik, he used to say, دَخَلَ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ الْإِسْلَامَ مِنْ أَجْلِ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. Some people entered Islam due to the dunya. There was a dunya reason. Want to get married? Dude's like, I'm thinking about Islam. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. I remember a funny story. I'm trying not to joke too much today. I remember a funny story. We're in Buffalo. Buffalo is kind of hood, right? And the masjid was right in the hood. MashaAllah. That's the best place for masjids to be. Because the first people to accept Islam are always the people who are underprivileged. Because the upper class feels like, well, yeah, I'll think about it. After pickleball, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trolling. I play pickleball too. I'm just trolling. Masjid should be in the rough areas because that's where people need the spiritual upliftment and the social wellness and reform that Islam brings. So we were in the masjid and this young man comes in and he's like, yeah, yo, I want to be one of y'all, right? I want to be one of y'all. And we're like, mashallah, we're used to it. We bring him in, we're talking to him. We're like, so what brings you? You know, we're waiting to hear, like, you know, the oneness of God is just my heart. I heard about the Prophet. He goes, man, y'all's cars is nice. The parking lot is like, I want to be like y'all. And he took his shahada, right? But if you look at him now, he's up there. Imam Malik, he says, دَخَلَ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ الْإِسْلَامَ مِنْ أَجْلِ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. There are some people that will accept Islam due to a dunya reason. He wanted to get married. So what? Why are you hating? Allah wanted to bring that person into this deen by any means necessary. He wanted to pull him in or her in. And now they're here. But look what Imam Malik says next. ثُمَّ أَصْبَحَ الْإِسْلَامُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. They enter Islam because of the dunya, but then Islam becomes more loved to them than anything in the dunya. And so these people became some of the greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're mentioning them till today. So we don't have to focus so much on what brought you in. And I'll share something about my own life. when I first converted, I converted after September 11th, where nothing, everything in the news was negative about Islam, completely negative. Nothing compared to now. It's way worse. But you know what was in me as a black man in America? My enemy's enemy is my friend. Y'all hate this Islam? It must be nice. Y'all hate Islam? It must be something good over there. And I'll be real. Maybe that first week or two, or that beginning search had not the best motivation behind it. But as I sat with people like y'all and I learned more, I was like, this is the most beautiful thing. Who cares how Allah brought me into this message? I'm here now. And so let us never judge people and how they came in. I'll tell you one more funny story. I told this many halakas ago. There was this one brother who took shahada. He was like 25 years old. And he was preaching to his father, who was like 65 years old. And he was giving dawah to his father constantly. And he was even teaching him stuff about Islam. So he taught him like, yo, dad, when I'm praying, just don't walk in front. You know, the angels don't like that. Something he taught him, something crazy. So one day, they were in the living room. The father was sitting on the couch, and the brother was praying. And while the brother was praying, there was an ant crawling on the floor. Remember the story? There was an ant crawling on the floor. And as the ant was walking, right when it was about to cross the brother, the ant stopped and then went in a different direction. Okay, chill. So after the prayer, the younger brother, he looked at his dad, and his dad said, yeah, I saw it too. Take me to the masjid. Well, they're doing beautiful now. But an ant crawling on the floor was the reason that brought him into the masjid. And so we never judge, never, ever judge. A lot of people, they say, you're marrying a Muslim. Oh, so you want to take your conversion. Oh, that's why. And we start to think all of these things. La. Imam Malik says some people come into this deen because they want the dunya. And then this deen becomes more beloved to them than the entire dunya. But here's the thing. This army had 12,000 people with it. And 2,000 of them had just become Muslim in Mecca, or they weren't even Muslim yet. And the Prophet ﷺ, he knows they're new, but he's creating a community of inclusiveness. He's creating a community of inclusiveness where it doesn't matter if you just came in, you're going to roll with us. Come on. And so I want you to understand that a large number of this army that was going out to deal with another problem, many of them were new. And some of them weren't even Muslim. As they were going, a mentality started to creep up. Because up until now, brothers and sisters, this was the largest army that had ever fought under Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 12,000 soldiers. This was the largest army ever. And so a feeling started to creep up. One of the new Muslims, he said, we can never lose today due to numbers. We can never lose today due to numbers. Now, the deep believers understand something profound. We never win based on numbers. We never win based on material. You being pushed forward in life, the successes, the W's that you get in life was never based on material. It was only from Allah. And the deep believers, they knew this. This was embedded in their heart. But guess what? Because of the number of people that were new and even non-Muslims with them, this mentality started to spread. What mentality? We can't lose today. Look at our numbers. There's too many of us to lose today. And this is important to understand, because I don't care how high you get in spiritual like ranks. I don't care how high you get. Company will always affect you. Company will always affect you. And what's amazing is the Sahaba, the companions, they never said with their tongue, oh, we'll never lose because of numbers. But the mentality crept in. And what's crazy is because Iman is all about having the right mentality. Deep Iman is about the right mentality. And company is what shapes mentality. Sit with somebody who's killing it in business, for like 2 hours? Bro, your YouTube stream gonna change like crazy. All of a sudden, it shifts. Company, it's not that company affects your actions. You're like, yo, whenever I'm around such and such, I still pray, I still do this, I still do that. But my question is, but do you think the same way? Do you think the same way? Because low key company, what it affects is thinking, and thinking is iman. I was talking to a friend today and he called me. And this friend, mashallah, man, mashallah. He was talking and he was like, I could feel like he was on some other level, right? And he was like, bro, I was just chilling with Sheikh such and such. And life looks different now, yo. I was like, did you talk to him? He's like, nah, I was just near him, bro. I was just around him. And he told me this today, and I was preparing for the talk, and it's just company shapes who you are. And these were sahaba. These were people that had spent 10 years with the best of company. But having those mentalities around was very detrimental. So the sahaba never said it. And I'm going to share this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi, falyanzur man yukhalil." That a person will always be on the religion, the way of life, the mentality of the person that they are friends with. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Falyanzur," look closely at who you khalil, that you keep company with. You keep company with. And so what I gained from this is, it doesn't matter how high you go in spirituality, you always have to watch the company because they shape how you think. So what happened? This mentality started to seep in, y'all. Oh, we can't lose today. It's 12,000 of us. We won in Badr with 300. We won in the battle of Muta, which was 200,000 versus the numbers we had. We can't lose today. Company impacts us, how we think. So this mentality is creeping in. And they continue to travel. They're traveling to the place where they're going to confront the enemy. And on their way there, because there's a lot of new Muslims, they pass by a tree. And this was a big tree. And this was a tree that had different things hanging on it. And there was a superstition from the Arabs that if you wanted to get something done, you go hang a ribbon on it, you put a sword on it, you make a dua, you slaughter an animal, you do something like that near this tree, your prayers will be answered. We're Muslims, we don't do that. And we know that for many years. That's not how we roll. We want something, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's it. But we have new company with us. So they're passing by the tree and they look at the Rasul, and they say to Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, it would be nice in Islam if we could have a tree like this too. You know, a tree we hang stuff up." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gets angry. He gets upset. And he says, "You're saying the exact same things." He says, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Qultum walladhi nafsi Muhammad biyadi." He says, "You're saying the same thing, I swear by God. You're saying the same exact words that the people of Moses said when Allah freed them." Real quick history lesson. Bani Israel was freed from servitude, slavehood, and everything they were going, and oppression under Pharaoh. But the moment they got free, they said these words, "Ij'alna ilahan kama lahum aliha." They saw these people worshiping something. They said, "Moses, you should make something for us to worship too. You should make us something." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this moment, he gets angry and he says, "Wallahi, our ummah," and listen closely, "our ummah will walk step by step in the same footprints of the previous ummahs before us." This is profound because it teaches you to study the history of the previous religions, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying these are cycles that the message goes through. And whatever the Jews went through, our ummah will go through too. Whatever the Christians went through, our ummah will go through too. Be on guard. Be aware of that. Walk the straight path, but understand we will follow through the same things that they went through. Study history. And here's the thing. They were new Muslims. They were stuck in an old mentality. They were stuck in this mental construct of shirk. Like, this is what we do. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, look, it's new now. You have to get rid of all that. You have to let go of that baggage and move forward. Get rid of what was behind you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they arrive. They're getting close to the battlefield where they expect the tribe of Hawazin to be. And as we're getting closer, it's early morning. And in order to get to the battlefield, there's like this deep valley that they have to descend into. I want you to picture it because this is a very profound moment in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have to descend into this valley, the Muslims, this army of 12,000. And it's very steep, so it's difficult to go down. But in order to get to where they need to, they have to go through this valley. And so as they're going down into the valley, and as everyone starts to get into the valley, all of a sudden, from the sides of the valley, from the front of the valley, the tribe of Hawazin attacks. This is different. They never experienced this type of surprise attack before. This never had happened before. Normally, the armies would line up, two people would come out, fight each other first, and then the war would begin. This was completely different. And so the entire 20,000 soldiers that were against them attacked them all at once. While they're in this valley, from above and from in front, they were caught off guard. In this moment, everyone starts to flee. Everyone. They all start to run. All of the new Muslims, they've just been Muslim 19 days. They've just been Muslim 19 days. They don't have Uhud under their belt. They don't have Badr under their belt. They don't have these things. They start to run. The mushrikeen, the non-Muslims who are with us, they've been dipped. They've been dipped. I didn't sign up for this. And they all start to flee. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stands firm. This halakha began by studying who he was, by looking at his character, how gentle he was, how soft he was, how loving he was, how compassionate he was, how brilliant he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he wouldn't be complete if he didn't have the quality of bravery. He wouldn't be complete without the quality of bravery. And in this moment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's standing in this valley as arrows are showering down, and as the army in front is trying to push forward, and everyone is fleeing. There's only a small group, Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali. There's only a small group staying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abbas, Abu Sufyan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he calls out, "Ilayya ya ayyuhan nas." He says, come back everyone. Come back. In ana Rasulullah. I'm a prophet of Allah. Why are y'all running? I'm a prophet of Allah. Don't run. Come back. No one turned back. They keep running. Again, we notice something. The Sahaba never ran before, y'all. But when everybody else starts running, if you like me, that's what black people do. You're like, what's going on over there? Nah, you run. Sorry, I had to. No, when everyone else around you is running, even those who are strong, they start to have, again, company affects mentality, and mentality affects actions. So everyone starts fleeing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this moment, I want you to imagine this army in front of him. I want you to imagine the arrows coming down from every direction. I want you to imagine him seeing the companions in this massive army of theirs fleeing and running away. And in that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's on a mule. He's not on a camel or a horse. He's on a mule. And he's pushing forward. He's pushing forward. And as he's pushing forward, our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying, "Ana nabi la kithib. Ana ibn Abdul Muttalib." He goes, "I'm a prophet in the face of this fearful thing." He says, "I'm a prophet. Ana nabi la kithib. This isn't a lie. Ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. I'm the son of..." You know what's crazy? What's crazy is by him saying his name, he becomes a target more. Because he's the one they want. But he knows who he is. He's confident in the help of God. And so in this moment, with arrows flying past in every direction, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting there chanting, "I'm a prophet of Allah. La kathib. I'm the son of Abdul Muttalib." And he's moving forward. And the scholars say, this is nothing but pure trust and tawakkul in Allah and pure bravery. The Sahaba, they say, when war used to get serious, we used to ittaqa bi shuja'ihi. We used to use his bravery as a shield. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this same man who would be in the masjid rolling on the ground with his grandchildren, this is him. This same man that would go and hug people and cry. Hold on one second. This is the man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who someone came to Medina looking for him. And they said, where is the guy who kisses his grandchildren at? He was so different because of his love and affection. But by no means was he scared. By no means was he soft. In this moment, he's pushing forward. Abbas is holding the reins of his mule. And Abu Sufyan is holding the back. And the Prophet is urging them forward. Keep moving forward. He gets down from the mule. And as he's getting down, he makes a dua. Oh Allah, nazil nasrak. Oh Allah, give us your help. Oh Allah, give us your help. Oh Allah, if you want, you won't be worshipped anymore. Meaning if you want to wipe us out, we'll be wiped out, but there will be no more believers on this earth. And then the Prophet ﷺ, see this beautiful man. He began to fight with his sword. With everyone fleeing and running back, except for a few 10, 12, 15 people around him. He's fighting. يُقَاتِلُ وَالصَّحَابَ الَّذِينَ ثَبَتُوا. And those who stayed with him, they're next to him fighting as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a man. His name is Shayba. Shayba bin Uthman. Shayba bin Uthman came with the 12,000 from Mecca, but he wasn't Muslim. And Shayba bin Uthman, his father was killed in Badr. He has emotional trauma, deep emotional trauma. He said, I'm going to Hunain, I'm going to this battle for one reason. I'm going to kill Muhammad when I get a chance. That's it. That's the only reason I'm going. He tells the story. It's a profound story. He says, "Al-yawm, al-yawm adraka tha'ara min Muhammad." Today is the day that I get my revenge from Muhammad. Deep, deep emotional trauma. This man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the cause for my father being dead. Everyone is freeing and he sees an opportunity. He goes, this is the perfect time. But when he looks, he sees Abu Bakr in front. He sees Umar on the side. He sees another Sahabi on the side. He sees someone else on the side. He sees that on every direction there's someone surrounding the Prophet while they fight. And he thinks and he says to himself, فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ مَمْنُوعٌ. Ah, I knew in this moment this man was off guard to me. I couldn't get to him. And he says, while I was thinking this, it's in the middle of the battle and I'm thinking this. He says, إِلْتَفَتَ إِلَيَّ رَسُولٌ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then looked at me right in the eyes. وَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيَّ. And he says, Ya Shayba. Middle of the battle, things are intense. He looks this man in the eyes, who he never met before. And he calls him by his first name. Ya Shayba. Udnu minni. Come close to me. Fadana. He came close to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Got through, got close to him. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched him on his chest. Touched him. This man with emotional trauma, this man who has lost a father, this man with so much going on in his heart, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood something that till today we struggle to understand how powerful touch is. How powerful touch is. There's a shab in this room right now. Every time I see him, he gives me this hug. Wallahi, the hug is curing. Wallahi, and you probably know who he is because he hugged you the same way. You get that hug, you're like, yeah, okay, alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the power of touch. He says, Shayba, come here. I know you. I know what you're going through. You need someone to touch you. You need someone to let you know you're loved and things will be okay. And so he places his hand on Shayba's chest. And he says, Allahumma adhib anhu shaytan. He says, oh Allah, take shaytan away from this man. Shaytan has him trapped in that trauma. Let him out. Let him free himself from that trauma from years ago. Free him, Ya Allah. Shayba says, I was looking down. And he said, فَرَفَعْتُ بَصَرِي إِلَيْهِ. He says, as he touched me and then said that, Mind you, in the middle of a war, y'all. In the middle of the battle, this man is healing hearts. In the middle of a battle, and you don't got time to pick up your friend's phone call. Your friend's having trauma, having some issues, need someone to talk to. You see the call, you're like, nah, that's going to be like 20 minutes right there. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Pick up that phone call. Pick up the phone call. Allah is helping you when you're helping someone else. Rasulullah was in the middle of the battle, surrounded and fighting. He sees this man with trauma and issues inside. He says, Shayba, come here. Shayba says, how do you even know my name? He says, come here. Proximity. I need you close to me. I can't heal you from a distance. I need you close. Shayba comes close. Rasulullah touches him. He needed to be touched. He needed to be touched. The Arabs in that time, they didn't touch for affection. They didn't touch for affection. And that's why when they saw the Prophet hugging children, kissing children, they said, what's up with this dude? But he taught us something, the power of touch. And then he says, oh Allah, remove shaitan from him. Meaning you can have trauma, and trauma is real. Trauma is real. But shaitan lets it stay. Shaitan keeps you focused on it. And you need someone to help you release that. He says, I was looking down, and then I lifted my eyes. فَرَفَعْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَصَرِي. I lifted my eyes and looked at him. And he says, وَلَهُوَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ سَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي وَنَفْسِي. He says, I looked him in the eyes, and in that moment, I loved him more. It's ajeeb. He goes, I loved him more than my hearing, my sight, and my own self. وَأَذْهَبَ اللَّهُ مَا كَانَ لِي. And all the trauma that I was feeling, I was free. It was gone. The Prophet ﷺ looks at him and he goes, Ya Shayba, go fight. We ain't got time for this right now. I just helped you. You're good. Can you help me fight? He says, Ya Shayba, qatil al kufar, go fight, bro. But look, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, Shayba says, after the battle, we're still in the battle, but you got to see Shayba's story. Shayba goes, after the battle, I went to the Prophet's tent. So obviously we won. I mean, y'all already know we Muslim today, so you know we won. But yeah, if there was a cliffhanger, you know? So he goes, I went to the Prophet's tent after the battle because I just wanted to see his face again. He goes, he's not Muslim yet, y'all. In that moment, that whole thing, he didn't become Muslim. He didn't become Muslim. He goes, I just wanted to see that face that helped me in my moment get over my trauma. I wanted to see that face again. He goes, I walked in the door and the Prophet looked at me and he said, Qala, he said, Alladhi aradaka bika Allah khayra mimma arada minka an-nafsuk. He said, the thing that God wanted from you was better than what your nafs wanted from you. Like your nafs wanted something. It wanted to kill me. It wanted to do wrong. It wanted to dwell on the trauma and thinking that revenge would remove the trauma. But Allah wanted something better for you. In that moment, finally, Shayba goes, can I take the shahada now? Can I become Muslim now? I've seen it all. I got it. And he takes shahada in that moment. He takes shahada in that moment. The Prophet ﷺ is fighting still. Back to the battle. The Prophet ﷺ is in the thick of fighting. But the Sahaba, many of them have run away. Their flight instincts kicked in. Rasulullah tells Abbas, his uncle, who's holding on to his mule. He says, Abbas had a very deep and loud voice. He says, Ya Abbas, call out, O people of the tree. Call out, O Muhajirin. Call out, O Ansar. Hold on one second. This is profound. The Prophet, when he called, he said, everyone come back, but no one came back. So the Prophet tells Abbas, I want you to call these people by a moment in their life that was profound. Ashab al-Shajara are the people that took a pledge on the Prophet's hand, Bayatul Ridwan. It was under the tree of Hudaybiyah. They pledged that we'll fight for you no matter what. So instead of calling them generally, he calls them by a moment in their life that was transformative. So Abbas calls out, O people of the tree, come back. And then he calls out, O Muhajirin, come back. O Ansar, come back. They heard it and they started to turn. They started to turn and come back. Labaik, Labaik, we're coming. One of the Sahaba says that the fighting was so intense that when I tried to turn my horse wouldn't turn because the horse is not going to go back. So he says that I grabbed my armor, I threw it on my shoulders, I jumped off the horse, and I start running. Abbas says, the moment he says, فَوَاللَّهِ لَكَأَنَّ الْأَطْفَهُمْ حِينَ سَمِعُوا صَوْتِي أَطْفَ الْبَقْرَ عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِهَا. He goes, when they heard me call them by this call, it was just like a cow who hears the bleating of its calf and how it just instinctively runs to it. There, see what's amazing? Their flight instincts made them run, but their ruh turned them around. Their soul, their ruh brought them back. And so they all start to come back. They were reminded, wait, why are we running? We don't run. They all came back. As the Sahaba, hold on, there's another side story. As I told you, there were a number of non-Muslims, and many of them were leaders of the non-Muslims. When everyone fled, they kind of hit off in the cut. And they actually just started watching. This, because they had just 19 days earlier been conquered. So they're talking like, oh, today they'll lose. Today it's over. Finally, all the magic of Muhammad is over today. Ikrama bin Abi Jahl. Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl is the nemesis of the Rasul. He is the Fir'aun, the Pharaoh of this ummah. His son is Muslim now, but he's only been Muslim for 19 days. But just because you just became Muslim doesn't mean your iman isn't through the roof already. He looks at them and he says, are y'all crazy? They're gonna win. They'll always win because they're fighting for Allah. Even if they lose, they'll come back and be victorious again because this isn't about Muhammad. It's not about Mecca. It's about Allah. I share that story because throughout the story, we were saying, oh, the new Muslims cause this, the new Muslims cause this. This was a new Muslim. His iman was, in 19 days, it was up here. So the Prophet ﷺ, everyone comes back. And this is one of my favorite moments of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sahaba come back. And now the fighting intensifies. I don't know if you're able to be appreciated. Maybe I appreciate it differently. As all the Sahaba came back and now the fighting actually begun. And it's intense. Intense. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stands in the stirrups of his mule, and he stands up. So he's looking over the entire battlefield, and he goes, Al-an hamya al-watis. He goes, now it's lit in here. Now it's going down. Now let's go. I don't know, for me, I get goosebumps, man. At who he was, so gentle but so strong, so compassionate but so firm when he needed to be firm. And so as the battle intensifies, what does he go? Oh, it's hot in here now. Let's go. It's go time. It's like you playing ball and it gets like lit. Not whatever, yo. I need some pickleball examples. Y'all might get it or something. I don't know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes down from his camel because he's hyped now. It's going down now. We're not running. We're fighting. We're standing up for La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Everyone came back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he picks up sand. This was a mu'jiza, a miracle of the Rasul. He did this multiple times in his life. He takes the sand and he throws it in the direction of the battle. And all of the kuffar after the battle, they say, all of our eyes, we immediately have to start rubbing our eyes because there's sand in our eyes while the Sahaba continue to fight, radiallahu ta'ala an. He picks it up. And he says, "In hazimu wa rabbil Kaaba, be defeated by the Lord of the Kaaba, be defeated by the Lord of the Kaaba." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran tells us that after that, the angels were sent down to support and help and to assist the believers. The Hawazin, when they came for this battle, they brought a lot of spoils of war to this battle, more than had ever been seen before. And the leader actually brought it because he said, our soldiers will fight more if they see all of the money and their possessions. If they see it here, they'll fight more. And so, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the battle is over. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells everyone, gather all of the spoils of war and take them over to a place called Jiarana and gather them there. We'll deal with it later. Before I go forward, I want to highlight what the Quran says. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاتِنَ كَثِيرًا وَيَوْمَ هُنَيْنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's only two battles mentioned in the Quran by name. The battle of Badr and the battle of this battle we just talked about. Badr was special because we dug deep. You know why this one was special? Because something happened to us that never happened before. Vanity. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثَرَتُكُمْ. Allah says, this is Quran. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثَرَتُكُمْ. The day when your numbers impressed you. In Arabic, this is called ujub, vanity. And it's one of the most destructive spiritual diseases a person could develop in themselves. Yes, you have to be confident and know that Allah is blessing you. But here's the deal. Your wealth, your health, your job, all of that is from God. It's not you. What's the solution to ujub? You feel it creeping in. You get in your car, you're like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah. Nah. How do you fight that? Number one, whatever blessings you have, Allah gave you blessings because He wants to see them on you. There was a man that once came in front of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know this hadith. He came in front of the Prophet and he wasn't like dressed in the appropriate way. And the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, do you have money? And the man goes, yeah, I have money. He said, what type of money? He says, well, I got all types of assets. No, seriously. He goes, I got cows, I got camels, I got like... He says, Allah loves to see the sign of His blessing on the servant. Now all y'all gonna get new cars. So I'm worried about sharing these hadith. He said, Allah loves to see His blessing on you. Allah loves to see His blessing on you. There was a sahabi who came to Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, he wanted some nice sandals, kicks, right? And he said, is it okay that I get this? Rasul ﷺ said, Inna Allaha jameel yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Rock the kicks. He didn't say rock the kicks. He said, Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. But here's the deal. What happens is, listen closely. When you start to look at the blessing too much, you start to forget the blesser. That's it. When you start to look at the car too much, you forget who gave it to you. You look at the job too much, you forget who put you through school, who gave you that intellect. You look at your beauty too much. Some of y'all think y'all fine. Every time you look in the mirror, you walk through, you stop. You know, you be walking, you like, right? You know what's funny? We're laughing because everybody does it. You walk past the mirror, come back. Like, why are you coming back, bro? Like, Allah bless you with beauty. Alhamdulillah. We look at the blessing too much, forget the blesser. And so the lesson in this moment and what was the cause of the temporary loss, it was a loss in the beginning. Everyone fled. They fled. Why? Allah said, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثَرَتُكُمْ. And my other advice around ujub, vanity, surround yourself with people that will motivate you but keep you grounded by reminding you it's from Allah. You don't need haters. Hater, who needs haters? You need people that love you for the sake of Allah. They'll motivate you, but the moment you start to get there, remember it's from Allah. Remember it's from Allah. Remember it's from Allah. That's what you need in your life. Those are the people that you need around you. So they did. This was the lesson that was being taught in the battle of Hunayn. Before we conclude, I want to share one more beautiful thing that happened right after Fatih Mecca. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he grew up in Mecca. He loves Mecca more than anything, right? When he left for Hijrah, he looked back at the city and he said, how pure are you? Speaking to the city, he said, how pure are you? Wallahi, I would never leave you if they didn't make me leave you. He loved Mecca more than anything. Now, when he comes back to Mecca and they conquer Mecca, some of the Ansar from Medina, the youngins, they started to say some stuff. They started to say, you know, do y'all think he gonna stay here now? Do you think he's gonna stay here and not come back with us? I mean, Mecca's conquered, his home. He could come back here now. This is his home. And word started to spread a little bit, like the Prophet ﷺ called the Sahaba, called them together. And he said, I heard what you guys were saying. He said, my place of death is your place of death. My life is your life. I live with you, I'll die with you. I'm staying with you no matter what. I'm not going anywhere. They said by the time the Prophet was done speaking, they had tears in their eyes. Had tears in their eyes. After the Hunain, the soldiers that were fighting us, they fled. And they went in different places. But the primary place they went was Ta'if. Now, y'all got to remember what Ta'if is. Ta'if was the hardest day in the life of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the day he went with no support after his wife had died, Khadija, and after Abu Talib had died, his uncle. He went to Ta'if looking for support, looking for someone. And not only did they not give him the hospitality that was customary for all Arabs, they kicked him out of the city, stoning him with his foster son right next to him. So the Prophet ﷺ, he moves all of the soldiers to Ta'if. Ta'if was a major city. It was surrounded by a fortress. There was no way to enter. The people of Ta'if had food for a year inside. Food for a year. The Prophet ﷺ stays there for 15 or 16 days trying to conquer Ta'if to get them to come out, and there's no success. A few things happen in that moment. Ta'if, subhanAllah, Ta'if also in the tribe in between these two cities, there was a tribe that may be familiar to us called Banu Sa'd. If it doesn't ring a bell, it's the tribe that he was suckled as a baby in by Halima. And it was in these days that he was in front of Ta'if that lo and behold, two people show up to meet him and take Shahada. His mother Halima, who raised him at the age of 4 to 7 to 8. She raised him, she took care of him. She called him son. She comes, she's taking Shahada. But first, who comes first? Halima's daughter, Shema. Because in order for her to be a wet nurse, she has to have milk, meaning she has to have a baby, right? So she had a daughter named Shema. And Shema comes, and she goes, do you know who I am? I mean, this is 40, 50 years later. And she shows a mark on her neck up here, or on the shoulder, I can't remember exactly. And then he remembers, when he was a baby, he bit her while they were playing. So Halima radiallahu anha, she comes and she takes Shahada. Shema, she comes and she takes Shahada. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after a few days, there was no way to get into Ta'if. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, let's leave Ta'if. They tried very hard. They were leaving Ta'if and the people, they said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua against them. Because at the end of the day, if we can't win, we have a prophet of Allah. So like mu'jizas, miracles can happen here. So they're leaving and they say, Ya Rasulullah, just make dua against them. Make dua against these people. This is the second time in his life he's being given the opportunity to make dua against these people. What do you think he's going to say now? He raises his hands. They think it's about to come down. He raises his hands and he says, oh Allah, bring them with mercy and guide them, Ya Allah. Bring them with mercy and guide them. Bring them to me, guide it, Ya Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, They head back to Ji'arana. When they get to Ji'arana, you have to understand, as I said before, there are thousands of new Muslims and hundreds of non-Muslims that were just in this army. And it comes time for the Prophet to distribute all of the spoils of war to everyone who participated. This is a big moment. I know we only have a few moments left. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the amount of spoils in this battle were unprecedented. Nothing like this had ever come before. So what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begin to do? He begins to give thousands, hundreds of things to individual people. So he calls one person, Uyayna, he calls him and he says, Laka alf jabal. He calls Abu Sufyan, for you 1,000 camels, for you 1,000 this, 1,000 that. And so he's giving all of this massive amount of wealth to people who are either not Muslim yet or just had converted. And they're all coming and they're saying, this man gives like someone who doesn't fear poverty. This man is different. And he's giving and he's giving and he's giving. Now, I want you to imagine something. We'll conclude with this. You've been grinding with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the last 18, 20 years. And now, my man who just took Shahada 20 days ago, just got 50 grand, just got 1,000 camels, which till today is worth a lot. He's just giving and giving and giving. So just like you thought, the young Sahaba from Ansar, they start thinking the same thing. They go, he's giving to them, man. He's going to be back with his people. He's not coming back with us. He's giving to these people. They're young. And they start spreading it around. I'm going to conclude. They start spreading this around. The Prophet ﷺ gets word. Sa'd bin Ubadah comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, the Ansar are saying this. The Prophet looks at him, he says, what do you say? He goes, I'm one of my people, you know what I mean? Like I can't understand why you're giving these people so much either. 20 days ago we were fighting against them, today you're giving them everything. The Prophet ﷺ said, please gather all the Ansar in one room and tell me when they're all there. Listen closely. They come, they say, Ya Rasulullah, the Ansar are all gathered together. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes into the room and he says, is there anyone who's not an Ansar in here? They go, no, we're all from Ansar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, you supported me when no one supported me. You believed in me when the whole world disbelieved in me. You gave me a home when I was homeless. I had nothing. You gave me everything. And if you told me that you gave me everything, I would confirm it in front of the entire world that you supported me when no one was there. And he says, what is this that you're saying? Are you angry at me that I give people sheep and goats so that their iman gets stronger? So that they get stronger in faith? So that they say, oh, Islam is so nice. Look how rich I got. Are you angry with me that I gave them things of this dunya to make their iman stronger? He's like, and this is the part, and we'll end. He says, does it not please you that they go home with sheep and camel and you go home with me? Does it not please you? All of them, they said, Radina, we're happy, Ya Rasulullah. He said, I trusted your iman was strong. I gave them all these things because they were weak. You're strong. You don't need goats and sheep to stay Muslim. You don't need money. You got me. But these people are new. We got to win their hearts over. And after that, the entire room was weeping. And they said, Radina, Radina, we're happy, Ya Rasulullah. We're happy, Ya Rasulullah. We misunderstood, Ya Rasulullah. We misunderstood, Ya Rasulullah. So this was a major moment in the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we gather to appreciate the beauty, the strength, the qualities that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. We gather in order to read these verses of Quran that remind us about these spiritual diseases. And we hope and we beg and we ask Allah to give us these qualities in our hearts that make us more like Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to give us company that helps shape our mentality in a prophetic way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the company that will negatively influence our mentality and our thinking. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place in our lives people that will touch us and help us heal the same way Shaiba was touched and healed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiru wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khair. May Allah accept from us, inshaAllah. This masjid prays at 8:45, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah accept. Assalamu alaikum.